Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, To The Point listeners, it is your boy Chris Yano, and I am live again. This is podcast numero dos at the ACCA conference 2022 in St. Louis. And I've got a couple of guys I've known for a lot of years sitting with me on the podcast, so I'm really excited about it. I got to share the stage with one of them today on the contractor forum panel with another good friend of mine, podcast guest, and also customer, Mr. Ken Goodrich. But I have Lee and Michael Rosenberg, hey, who have been, we have had a partnership for how many years? Like seven? Is it seven?
I think it's close to maybe eight years. Yeah. 8 years. I remember meeting you at the carrier meeting.
Dude, I still remember, like, we've talked about this a couple of times. We met, I was giving a presentation on the floor. Was it the Spurs?
Yeah, was the AT&T Center, I believe.
I was in the middle of the floor, which was already difficult enough because of the echo. And then I feel my back pocket, my phone buzzing while I'm giving my presentation. I walk off from giving my presentation and I look, and it was Michael Rosenberg. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
You were already like, ow. But I'll never forget that because I was like, oh my gosh. Like, that was the first time somebody had like messaged me right in the middle of a presentation. And I have my phone in my pocket, so I felt the buzzing.
No, I enjoyed your presentation and I was impressed and I wanted to talk to you about doing business. We've been doing business ever since.
I love it. And I'm grateful for you guys too. And it's even more exciting for me to have you guys, you know, on here too. And Lee, like you and I got to share the stage. I got to hear your story. I didn't even know about the Blue Dot days. I didn't know about any of those things. So, like, I've met so many different guys from Kenny Haynes and Geiger and Charlie Haynes and, like, just all the different people, but did not know that that was part of your history. So I'm excited for our listeners to kind of understand a little bit more of the depth of Rosenberg, which is now Rosenberg Indoor Comfort, right?
Correct.
Actual
correct.
Name.
Rosenberg Indoor Comfort.
And these guys are down in San Antonio, Texas. Now, you... Did you start this business in 74?
No.
Dang it.
No.
Did the business start in 74?
No.
Okay. Strike two. Why don't you tell me? Tell me a little bit about it. Hey, I do know this. Before you go there, I do know that you guys were the 2021 ACCA Residential Contractor of the Year.
That's correct.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Did you guys know, very proud of it. Fun fact that we had... you guys, as partners of ours, customers of ours, who won the residential, and then our other partner of ours, customer of ours, was H.B. McClure that won the commercial.
That's very cool. Yeah.
That was a pretty good year for the Rhino family. We're pretty excited about that.
Very cool.
But welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to have you guys on here. And Lee, if you don't mind, man, just go ahead and let our listeners know a little bit about, like, one, you know, since I butchered, like, when the business started, I thought it was 74. I guess I was wrong. Maybe go ahead and just share like how you got into the trades and then, you know, Michael, just kind of chime in whenever you want to, but just a little bit of how you guys got into the trades and then let's walk through the business, maybe some, a little bit of your history and then all the way up to where it's at today. And if I interrupt you along the way, it's because I'm trying to pull more information out of you. Is that fair?
Sounds good.
Okay, great.
For it. Yeah, I can tell you that I graduated the University of Texas in Austin as an electrical engineer. I'm a registered PE. And when I got out of college, I went to work for a large corporation out of New York, and I was in research and development in telecommunications.
R&D.
And I developed coaxial cable for cable television and patented it for the company. And after 2 years, we decided to go into the manufacture of the product, and I moved to Wisconsin and built and ran a manufacturing facility 24/7, 365, for about 5 years, and then ended up building another one in upstate New York. And I got really, really fed up with the big corporate environment and the big corporate snow, horrible winter, and decided it was time to move back. And I'm a native of San Antonio.
Okay.
A friend knew a friend who was in the heating and air conditioning business. And he happened to call me and said, you know, if you're considering a change of career, why don't you think about the air conditioning business? I've got this friend who wants somebody for sales and engineering. So we got together in San Antonio. The company was relatively small, doing residential new construction.
What year?
1974. And that's where the 74 came from.
Okay.
So I did sales and engineering. I didn't know anything about air conditioning, but I went to the library and checked out a book, read the book.
Card catalog.
Yeah, and I figured I could do this and built the company to about $9 million a year. And that was in, I left there in 1985.
Okay.
After attending an ACCA conference and met a guy and determined that the company I was working for was really not making any money, not profitable. But I was paid well, so I really wasn't complaining. And I'll never forget, I was making about $85,000 a year then. Anyway, I went to work for them. Finally, I quit, and we started our first company in 1986.
Okay.
During the Texas economy was going blah, and it was tough. It was really, really tough.
So you thought, hey, the economy's bad. This sounds like a great time to start a business.
I remember when they started the business. It was pretty stressful. A lot of fighting going on, and it was tough.
Yeah,
in our household.
Yeah, it was a tough time. But I joined an ACCA mix group with some very successful contractors, and we climbed out of the hole and built it up. And we became very profitable. And in 1998, we were one of the founding companies of Blue Dot.
Got it.
And for about the first year and a half or two, it went pretty well. But then they were going to take it public, and it fell out of favor, and it croaked, and the corporate people started just lying and whatever.
It got ugly.
Yeah, it got ugly. How do you like that?
Yep.
And so I decided to stop and became the co-founder of Service Nation and served as its chairman with Matt Michelle over a period of 10 years.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And then we decided Blue Dot wanted to give us the business back, or actually pay us to take it back.
That's unique.
And we kicked them out of our building. And 19 years ago, last week, we started over. And focus, laser focus on top line, bottom line, but mostly bottom line.
Yeah.
And we've been very profitable over many, many years.
So you guys are residential add-on replacement service, like?
We're residential service, replacement, and planned maintenance, and commercial.
Light commercial.
We do no new construction, and we are today probably a little heavier on the residential side.
Got it. And that's no plans on changing that anytime soon? That's kind of the model?
No, we like the commercial side. It makes the seasonality better.
Got it. And you don't want to do a new construction because you like to get paid?
No, we like margin.
Yeah, we like profitability.
On the commercial side, we do have to carry accounts, but we're very cautious. And our other partner, Betsy, she's credit and collections. And I think last year we wrote off about $600.
Oh, wow.
She says, no, we got some of that back, but she does.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the things, parts of our success on that is we run a credit check on all new commercial accounts.
Got it.
And we don't just do business with people without knowing their credit history.
Right up front.
Right up front.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And so that's like your risk assessment is. Yeah. How? What? Okay, gotcha.
Absolutely.
All right, sure. Makes sense. I love light commercial business, by the way. It's always good.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another side to that. Some companies are strictly residential. And we have a situation where if a technician that we grow, and we grow our own, basically, if he has an opportunity to cross over to the commercial side, it's rewarding to him. So they're able to go back and forth. And we've never laid off an employee for lack of work, ever.
Yeah, I heard you say that this morning. I thought that was amazing. I was like, I don't know that I've ever heard that before.
It's because of the diversification of our business. You know, when it's nice weather in San Antonio, we have the commercial maintenances that our residential guys can work with, you know, and it really has helped us grow over the years.
Yeah, diversification, gain to give you that stability, and you can carry the gap. That is fantastic. Well, good for you. That's fantastic. I the kind of the world that I live in has always been the add-on replacement and service world. Like that's really been my hyper focus. I do have some of our contractors that we go after light commercial for, but it's somewhat difficult to get. Usually the cost per lead is fairly high. It's just unpredictable for me. So commercial is not Not my
forte.
Thing.
Yeah.
Not my thing. I just prefer to stay in my lane, if you will.
Sure,
I mean,
yeah.
We've been doing this for seven, 8 years, whatever it's been, and that's all we've ever focused on. And you actually, if you think about how long ago that was, this business or my business looked significantly different then than it does today. But I'm literally doing the exact same stuff. Same things over and over and every day.
Yeah, I couldn't believe you had, over 100 employees.
140.
When I met you, it wasn't that many.
No, it was 20 and maybe at best, somewhere
you've
around
grown.
There at that point in time. Just kind of keeping my nose down and kind of making sure, I focus on what do the contractors want from me. Are we providing service leads, install leads, in plumbing, drain cleaning, sewer lines, whatever it is, and just tracking it, measuring it. It's just, I think the valuable lesson I learned early on was that if I just track everything, then it takes all the guesswork and the thinking or feeling out of it, and it's facts. Are we performing? Are we not performing? And at what cost are we performing? And can I scale those things? And it just took me a long, way. I think some of this was kind of dumb luck, mainly because I didn't really know if I could take on another vertical, because the bandwidth for HVAC alone was difficult just because of the swings of shoulder seasons. But hey, it worked out. I'm grateful for it. Now here we are here all these years later.
Well, that's great.
So I want to just say congratulations on your guys' success. You have a phenomenal name in the business, a well-respected name in the business. It's reputable. So I commend you guys for that. I'm grateful to have been a part of a little baby piece of that all these years. But it is neat for me to see the family aspect of this. Like you brought up Betsy, who I tried to get her to come on here and she ran away from here. She did not want to be on the podcast.
She would have been excellent.
I have no doubt.
Does our radio spots.
Does she?
Yeah. When we shoot radio spots.
Why was she shying away? This was her moment to come in and shine.
I can tell you when she looked in here and she saw a bottle of water, she said, if that was a Cosmo, I would have done it.
Yeah. We could have made that happen. I could have sent a runner up there to get that done. Something I always like to talk about then too is, you kind of went through your history, fairly quick, and there's so much, in there, of course, that you could have probably went down multiple different paths. But as the business sits today, where are you guys at in regards to just size of the business?
We have 46 employees, and we're looking to grow. We're looking to continue to grow profitably, organically, and we don't want to grow too fast where it gets out of control. But every year we've grown quite a bit. Last year we grew almost 30%.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And it went well, even through all the headaches with COVID.
A lot of headwinds.
A lot of headwinds.
I will say this, though, and you guys tell me you can agree or disagree, but my opinion is, because I'm a silver lining kind of guy, is I was really grateful that during COVID that our industry was exposed for what it really is, and that is an essential business. And it was a... really good for all of everyone else to kind of see who might have been struggling, like restaurants or gyms, all these things that were shutting down. Well, San Antonio, Texas, if it's hot, there's no air conditioning. Somebody's calling. It's just, which one are they going to call? And that's when I had to pivot, throw the badges on these websites with the you guys have on your site with the mask, no contact service call to kind of alleviate the fear or whatever it would be. And then still get you in the house to do the job.
Well, as a lot of people worked from home last year and the year before. So people were in their house using their air conditioning and they needed us. They weren't afraid to have us in there. So that definitely was good.
Well,
good for our industry.
Yeah. I'm in Phoenix. So same thing.
Yeah.
It was hey, somebody's still, if it's 110 degrees out, 115 degrees out, somebody's still going to need to get in there and take care of business. Somebody's going to do it if it's not you. So we kind of, we took the approach of let's just go all in on this thing because the trades are going to increase. So I think that what was great about it, and now that we've seen, when this hit, this is when the whole private equity game went berserk because people who were not diversified enough, kind of to your point on your guys' services, is like, oh, wow, okay, well, these ones are essentially pandemic proof at this point,
Sure,
somewhat recession proof if you're not in new construction, because even in, I started this business in 2008. I mean, think about what time that was. But it was great because it was a moment where a lot of contractors maybe hadn't to that point really adopted internet marketing and maybe were a little hesitant because they were sure. Well, then when that happened, it was like, okay, I guess we better try some new things, kind of like what happened during COVID. Like the virtual sales call, would you have ever in your lifetime thought that was going to be a thing? A virtual sales call?
No.
Yeah.
No. There are a lot of changes.
And some executed it great and some not so much, but at least it was an option. It was an pivot that you had to do to try and like, you know, service the customer. But
it was a novel idea.
It was. And I don't think it's as much anymore, but no, it works.
No.
I want to ask you though, you know, along the path, and I'm not sure kind of what the day-to-day looks like for each of you. Mm-hmm. But was there, and I guess I can ask this to both of you, and you can just answer as you want, but I'm always really interested in somebody's growth plan on when things actually like started to click. Like you feel like, okay, man, I've learned a few things. I made a few mistakes. I'm kind of moving through the business. We're good. We're profitable. When, you know, was there a moment, I guess I'll start with you, Michael. Was there a moment when things like just started to click and you're like, aha, I get it. I understand. Like, do you know that moment?
Yeah. I'd say a couple things. One is I learned that I needed to delegate more and, you know, hire the right people. And once we had the right people and I was open to delegating more of what I was doing, I was able to work on the business. And I worked on a lot of the marketing. And that's my favorite part of the business, honestly, is the marketing piece. And I was able to figure out, you know, like you guys, find resources to handle different pieces of our business, our PPC, SEO, direct mail, TV, all that stuff. And I found the right people and I was able to, you know, not have to work on things that I was always working on the everyday thing, but I was able to kind of watch the and work on the marketing side of the business. And that really helped us grow, especially on the residential side, residential replacement side. And we saw we started to build our brand and with our TV spots and, you know, and then it just kind of grew from there. That's I'd say is the point where I saw, hey, it's growing. It's growing the right way.
So enough of the like consistency and doing the things, and you finally started to recognize that when you look at the P&L or the balance sheets, things are starting to follow suit.
Yeah,
I mean, the brand equity is a key ingredient to the success of really all things, marketing and even recruiting, you know, for technicians.
Oh, for sure. For sure. The brand, and if you have a good reputation, I realized that reviews were really important. And driving reviews to our business, people look at reviews. We get a lot of calls. They say, hey, you guys have really good reviews. That's why we called you. And
perfect.
That's how you grow. Yeah.
How about you, Lee? Was there a couple different moments there?
Well, I can tell you, first of all, that I'm very anal. I'm an engineer. Okay. I'm good with numbers. And I learned a long time ago that you have to know your numbers cold. So before we started our very first business.
Hey, when you say cold,
you
what
got
do you mean?
Accurate, timely, departmentalized. And we had a budget before we started the first company. Through that process, we got better and better at it. And we don't start a new year until we have a line item, zero-based budgeting budget. We track budget to actual every month. And we also look at a lot of trends, like direct labor trends by department. We're very focused on top line, of course, but more importantly, the bottom line.
Yeah.
And even though we're not huge, we've always been quite profitable.
And you're in, that's the game that you're in.
Yeah. And of course, we have plenty of working capital, so it can finance whatever we do. So, because obviously on the commercial accounts, we do have to carry them for a certain period of time, but it's not a problem. The mixed group, ACCA mixed group.
Yeah.
That did it. I learned how profitable this business is if you run it like a business. And unfortunately, there's technicians, some very successful, running a business, owning a business, but many of them think it's easy to run a business. The tools you need to run a business successfully and profitably, that's a different tool pouch. So there's a lot of things, and we continue to learn. I've already learned some things here in St. Louis since I've been here since Sunday afternoon.
That's incredible. I mean,
I learned
all
some
this time, years, all the things you've been involved in later.
I learned some things.
Never stop learning.
The panel that we did today, I learned some things.
Oh, yeah?
I've already made myself some notes.
You know what? For being an engineer, he's an awfully extrovert. Because most
you don't
engineers
even know.
Yeah, just ask Michael. You'll never know.
I love it. Well, so would you mind sharing if one of the things that you learned or that piqued your interest or anything that you heard on that panel today? I'm just curious to know what it is.
I think I heard some things about leadership.
Yeah.
I also heard it from the folks that were on the panel that everybody's doing something a little different.
Yeah.
Every company has its own culture. And I know there's all kinds of ways to produce profits. Business mix, philosophy, pricing. You know, we're going through a period right now. I've never seen the inflation the way it is.
Right.
And where we used to look at costs on materials, as an example, every 6 months, we're doing it daily, but every month we're looking at standard cost variances and pushing out price increases as we need to.
Yeah, for sure now, because like anymore, it seems like it's happening so frequently.
Yeah, the equipment manufacturers are pushing it out like crazy.
Well, but here's the deal. Everybody's dealing with it. So I guess the best way to win that game is to be hyper-focused on like those financials faster, I guess sooner to kind of understand.
I think the biggest problem is competition, and our competition is us. It's the contractors that don't understand the financials, and they just don't understand their costs, and they're not able to push out prices.
You think that's a more common issue?
Oh, it's totally. Oh, yeah. It's always been that way.
Yeah, with financials?
Yeah.
Yeah, got it. Yeah. What do you think, Michael?
Yeah. What was your question?
In regards to like with this whole deal with inflation, everybody's dealing with it. So like I hear it and I know it's just some won't get through it because some probably don't
absolutely
really understand.
Totally.
And it's not the people here. I mean, there's people here, but it's the people that aren't here that don't make the time to come here and learn how to be profitable. It's all the other contractors that don't know how to price up replacements. And we run into it every day. Where we're, you know, we lose a job because there's so much less, and next thing you know, they're out of business, you know, and it's tough.
This is the whole reason that I started this podcast, by the way. It was to try and be like that olive branch to maybe those who maybe they want to come, they can't, they don't think they can afford to come, they don't think it's worth it because they don't really understand yet. Like Ken Goodrich was just on here earlier, and he talked about same thing. Like in the 90s of him coming, he had $800. He was like, that was it. And he decided to go to NACA conference. And that was kind of a shift, you know, in his model. And he's still attending, still learning today, still taking notes today. Like he came and sat here and showed me a few notes that he had taken, just like you said. So there's like this little common theme going on here that you're constantly learning and constantly trying to get better is what I'm hearing.
That's cool. I learned, you know, one of the things I picked up today was I need to do more management training for my managers, you know, send them to more management seminars.
Yep.
Make them stronger.
So I heard somebody tell me this one time that stuck. And as we've grown, you know, I try to be a student of the business as well. So I've kind of learned business by being in it. And so the podcast has actually given me so much education because I've done 100, I don't even know how many, 110 or 12 or 15 episodes. But I've learned so many things from some really intelligent people on these podcasts. So even though we're in different industries, business is business. Like we're starting to understand things, but I did the same thing. So Ken had pushed me into using map consulting.
Right. Yeah, that's about. What I listened to. Yeah.
So
what
I wrote down. So I sent Mike, who, you know, to it to just learn, but somebody had, and he loved it, by the way.
He mentioned that to me. I ran into him down there in the trade show. He mentioned that.
He loved it. And so, but it was something that I heard, and I cannot remember for the life of me who told me on this podcast. I knew who it was. It was a guy named Tom Howard who had said that, he was putting all of his employees, including the janitors, down to the janitors, maybe that was a figure of speech, but all of his employees through a leadership training. Now, it was internal. Like, he created it because he does leadership training, but he did leadership training for all of his employees to try and get them to think like leaders, even if they're not in a leadership position. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
If you can have the... I mean, maybe you're not sending your entire staff to, like, a MAP consulting, but if you could bring somebody in to start to... maybe teach even the fundamentals of leadership, even if they're not truly leaders, at least it gets them thinking more like leadership, which can only make them better at their job, right? And better as a human being in their professional life and their personal life, all those
things. Absolutely. It makes them more confident and know how to handle situations better.
Because like you'd said, you had to, part of this, you know, one of these things that helped you click was this being willing to delegate.
Yes.
And in order to delegate, you got to have some confidence in that person or persons that you're delegating to.
Absolutely.
To continue to bring the business with them, uphold the values, all the things, right? And then what kind of follows, you guys have kind of been on this, like, you know, where Ken is like massive growth, super fast, goes like, that's not how you guys function. But the technician side of this thing is still equally as important. So you have your great brand in the market to ride on, which is great. That's certainly helpful in recruiting. But you were talking a little bit about this earlier, Lee, on stage, just about like, acquiring talent, bringing in technicians and things like that. What is your guys' strategy to keep up with that? Well, just making sure we have bodies to chase down the volume and keep going.
I can talk about that. So we have a build a tech program, an internal build a tech program, and we've built relationships with 4 of the trade schools in San Antonio and serve on several of their boards. We bring in these, I call them kids, but some of them are, older than me, and they come in and we hire them, and they start. Some of them start in our parts runner position, where they're running around, picking up parts. We see if they're reliable, see if they show up for work, see if they take directions well, and then we promote them into the Build-A-Tech program, where they're riding with senior guys. They go through the office and learn the paperwork side. They learn about how we do sales leads, and they go throughout the office. So they learn how we do things. They don't have bad habits. And before you know it, it could be 4 months, 6 months. Some of them taking a year. We determine what are they good at? Are they good at commercial or residential? What do they like? And then we stick them in a truck, we promote them, and then they go out there and they take care of our customers. And I'll tell you, probably 75% of our field people today came through our Build-A-Tech program. And I don't know how we would be where we're at without that Build-A-Tech program. And Tom, our vice president, built a lab at our office, and we use that lab to train them. We use that lab actually as well. When people come in and they interview with us, we show them the lab, and it's impressive, and it helps us with recruitment.
Got it.
Technicians love training.
Yeah. Did you say, I can't remember if you said this or not, but maybe you alluded to that you will hire the human being first and then train the skill after. So you kind of put them through, like, you're in a parts running truck. It doesn't take a lot of skill set to figure out how to run that, but you can see how they do it. Like, how are they upholding themselves? Like, what are their values? Are they coming? Are they on time? Are they reliable? All the things, like the core functionality, the basics of a good human being.
Hire for attitude, train for aptitude.
That's what it was. Dang it, that sounds so much better.
Yeah, it really does.
It sounds way better. But I appreciate you bailing me out at the very end. Yeah. So you took me all the way through it. At least I remembered it. See, I took something away as well. I have to go back and reference that piece of it. I don't know if Mike told you this too, but that's something we started doing as well. Is we noticed that with the contractors trying to do this, build their own tech program, as we started doing it internally for us as well. I mean, we created Rhino University, Rhino U, and now we're trying to incubate our own employees as well. Bring them in, hire for the human being, the heart, are they good people? And then teach them the skill. So
where do you get your people from? You get them from school?
I mean, we try. We get them from all over. We don't have a, you know how you guys will get, if you were to put an application, a posting out for a technician, you'll get a ton of applicants, but like really none of them are hireable.
Yeah.
The majority aren't hireable, or even worse, the interview. We get a little bit of that too, but ours isn't as bad as yours. Like it's a little easier to teach someone our skill versus that technical skill. It is different.
Understood.
Like, it's a little bit less. Oh, yeah. So we have a bigger pool to choose from. And where the difference is that, we have plenty of remote employees now, which is like which is totally acceptable. Like to have virtual employees. I don't love it, but we have some really, really great people that are virtual. A lot of KPIs in place to just kind of measure to your, from your engineer brain, is it would be, you have lots of measurable things in place to make sure that they're proficient in their jobs.
Sure.
So I want to tell you guys this too. I noticed that whenever I was just kind of doing a little prep for this too, something that's probably good to help you guys with recruiting is that you won the, 2021 Top Places to Work in San Antonio Award. I saw that.
We did. Yeah. Yeah. The way that works, which I love, is it's a neutral company that actually goes to all your employees and they survey the employees. We don't know what the responses are. They ask our employees, how do you feel about working for the company? And it asks all kinds of other questions. There's like 30 questions. And then they put us against like-sized companies in San Antonio and they rank us. And then we won the last couple of years. We were in the top. Last year, we were in the top 8, I think, small companies in San Antonio.
Out of how many?
I don't remember how many.
Quite a few.
But quite a few. Yeah, there are quite a few that are in there. And we also get feedback. At the same time, they'll give us feedback on some of the things that we need to improve on, you know, to make make our environment as best as possible.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that. That's fantastic. I feel like from the employees giving that raw feedback with no repercussions of it even being negative because they wouldn't know, you don't know who it is.
We don't know who
it
is.
It's anonymous.
That
says a lot about the culture of the business, you know. So congratulations to you. I'm a big culture guy. I love that type of stuff too. And so that's a pretty amazing award to win. I've tried it a few times. And you know what? Like I get the feedback, and as the company grows and we go through this virtual world, it's really hard. I think probably the most challenging part of my career in the last few years was trying to manage a culture in a virtual world. That became extremely difficult because you can't get the same connection.
No.
Yeah, you don't stop by their offices and say hi and see how things are going. You can't do that.
Yeah, and even like the newer employees that had come in had. They didn't understand how accessible, like maybe the management or the leadership team really is, like, because maybe they came in from a place that wasn't like that, and because we're not there in person, they don't realize, no, it's really like that open door policy is legit. It's like that door is open. You can come in anytime. So, during COVID, when we put that test out there again, you know, we've got, I don't know, 80 some, 90 some, however many that are filling that out, all the full-time employees, to get the feedback on like, oh, we didn't win because we handled like a COVID the wrong way for somebody. Those are really hard because everything else is doing really good. But CDC protocol is difficult enough and everybody's kind of like one way or the other and all this stuff. It was difficult.
I can imagine.
But the feedback was really good. I mean, it's sometimes difficult to read, but that's how you get better at these things is I'm like, oh, I mean, I don't know everything that happens.
Yeah, we don't either. And it is a little bit scary. You know, you're putting yourself out there to receive some criticism. You know, when you have them do a survey and you get the feedback, you know, it's not all good feedback. I mean, it's not all positive feedback. So you're like, you know, you don't want to hear something bad, but it's good to know so that you can improve it and get better.
Yeah, that's good. And I think it's like we do this thing. Gosh, this is going to make you cringe. I know it. It is going to make you cringe, Lee. And it does me too at times, but it's so good. And it is, we do this thing called every year, right, wrong, missing, confusing. Now the executive team does it. And we basically say, hey, what's right in the company? What do we think is wrong? What's missing? What's confusing? Four categories. And then we give the same thing to the employees to anonymously put the same thing in. From their perspective, what's right, wrong, missing, confusing. And then we compare to see, are we aligned on what's right, wrong, missing, confusing? Just to have an idea of like, are we on the same page or close to the same page? Like, are we disconnected completely?
Sure.
The difficult piece of that is that's three negatives and one positive. You've got right, yay, but then you've got wrong, missing, confusing, right?
Yeah.
So we learned this. What I learned from the first year we did to the second year is I no longer start with right. I end with right. We go through wrong, missing, confusing, and then we finish with right.
Because that's a good idea.
Because at least we start to get an idea. And then what happens is for our annual kickoff meeting, we address these things. And we address like, hey, here's where we may have missed accountability from the previous year. Here's the things that we're going to do to try and fix these things. Like the work from home stuff is something that everybody talked about, and I struggle with work from home stuff. But we kind of came up with like a earn your way to work from home type thing. We give like 30 work from home days, almost like you get like floating holidays. Like trying to be flexible and work to try and maintain culture. Because even though I may not like it, I still got to adapt to what's going on today. And the way, like, even if you don't, even if the Gen Z bugs you, you still got to accommodate. Like it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I learned a lot in that seminar and that session, but yeah, they think differently and you got to give them certain things differently. You got to give them feedback, you know, quicker. So actually shorter periods of time, but more often. The guys like my age, I'm a Gen X, you know, I just, you know, once a month is fine.
Me too.
Feedback.
I'm a Gen OH. It's over the hill. No, but I think I have a nephew who has just finished being the managing partner of a global law firm based in Houston, and they did a lot of remote. They shut the office down, and he worked remotely from Aspen each summer and stuff. Now all of a sudden, some of the partners are saying, you know, it works so well during the summer. Why don't we just keep doing that instead of going back to the office? And we'll just work from our remote homes or whatever. So he's having some resistance, people coming back to the office. And I think a lot of businesses are going through that.
Yep.
In our office, we remoted one person for 2 weeks and two people for 3 months. I was one of those. He wouldn't let us come into the office.
Yeah, when COVID first started, you know, my parents are older. I didn't want them to be around the office.
I get it.
And I had COVID. She had COVID. She had COVID bad. He had COVID. His wife had COVID. One of the boys had COVID. And we had a few employees with COVID. So
yeah,
it is what it is.
Yep, same. And we're all healthy
yep. today.
We made it through.
Yep.
Gosh, is it? Do I dare say we're on the tail end of that?
I hope so. I hope so. Oh, my gosh.
Gosh, man, I sure hope so, too. I want to ask Lee, just you know, for the sake of time, too, because we're already like half hour into this thing. It goes by super fast. Is from all your years of experience, and then I want to go ahead and come to you, Michael, too, from your perspective. From your years of experience, seeing lots of things in this industry, not really being a wrench turner, but you're more of the you're the engineer brain, the financials, the numbers, the analytics, the data, that type of stuff, all the way through today. You know, because you're technically your role is chairman, right?
Right.
So, if you could give maybe one or two like really good pieces of advice for like somebody that's kind of new or starting out, because we have quite a few people that are on here who are in a truck driving right now, listening, trying to learn things as they go to a job to go and work it. You know, what are some like good, like fundamental things that whomever's driving right now can hear you say that you know for a fact will help them scale this business or grow the business the right way,
First of all, you'd have to know the financial side of the business. There's a lot to it.
Yep.
And I think that's one thing's very important. I think budgeting is critical. You can plan at the beginning of the year. We plan to the point where we know what our profit should be at the end of 12 months. And right now we're just, 3 months into it. And we're on track. Well, we're actually ahead of track. But having that budget is very important. I think running a business, honesty, integrity, and professionalism. We do get a few applicants that come in. Some of them say, you know, I got to make a change. It's not my pay. It's not my benefits. The problem is the ethics, the culture, but primarily the ethics of the company where I work. They make me do things, sell things that are not, you know.
Got it.
So I think that's been one of our main things, honesty, integrity, and professionalism. Also, we spend quite a bit of time communicating with our people. We have metrics every Tuesday at 11 o'clock. We have a staff meeting for inside every other Friday morning. We have the field all in. So there's a lot of communication with our team. And they know where we are and where we're going.
Got it. That's important to know
But financially, that's the big thing. You got to know what you're doing.
Yeah. And can we just agree that sales isn't always the answer in the beginning? Because people are like, oh, I got to go and sell so I can make that. That is a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. Like you have to understand and know your numbers. If you're listening right now and you're the one that's trying to sell your way out of situations, I'm telling you, listen to Lee, stop, take the time to focus and get your financials together so you can really understand what the vitals of the business are.
Right.
And if you don't really know how to do it, you're not alone. There's plenty of people who can help you who are willing to help you figure those things out. That is not a dumb question. You shouldn't feel ashamed if you don't know those things. It's a different skill set. Maybe somebody doesn't have. So, I mean, I have, you know, my wife is very, very financially, like she's sound, she's analytical, she's smart. I had to learn these things over time and understand them and have her regurgitated to a way that I could understand. But I was okay to ask for help. And so you really shows, you know, so to anybody that's listening right now.
For a service tech who has migrated into owning a business, the financial side is a foreign object for most. Technical, great. They love to get technical training, but to some of them, and I consulted for 3 years, I can tell you that technician mentality in many cases is, this is like taking medicine to learn the financial side of the business.
Got it. How about you, Michael? What do you think?
I would say the big thing is surround yourself with successful people.
That's good.
Go meet with people, ask questions. If you can be in a mixed group with like-sized companies, learn from them, you know, rub shoulders with good people that you know, honest people that know how to run a business. They can tell you their issues that they ran into when they started their business. And then second, find good people, find good people to help you. Honest people that have the same, I guess, culture and values.
And I would just simply say, too, there's a lot of people here, first-timers at this conference, and they've picked up some good ideas. I've told them not to get overwhelmed, but remember, an idea without action is only a dream.
So I love that you just said that, because I've said this many, many times. I even said it in my presentation yesterday, and you don't know because you weren't there to see it. I use the term ambition without action is useless. Yeah. And here's why I say that. Because, well, one, it's true. Mm-hmm. But think about having done consulting for so long and been in this industry so long. I've been doing this now 14 years. I would go and give facts. Even when you saw me in San Antonio, I was giving facts that somebody could go take back and implement in their business with zero to minimal expense. I'm talking minimal. And I'm telling you fact after fact, year after year after year. And 95% of people sitting in that room will still go back and do nothing.
I agree.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That's right.
So, whenever you also missed it because I had you guys in my presentation. I love talking about that 95-5 rule because it's my way of trying to push every single year to get somebody to not be in that 95%, but maybe kick yourself over to the 5% that actually take that information and go back and actually take the action and do something with it. And if it fails, they don't get it right. Maybe change it up a little bit and try it again.
Tweak it.
But don't just go back, get in the normal routine of what you left because stuff piled up. That's the worst case scenario, and that's what the majority do. So if you just don't do that, you can start to move your business forward.
That's right.
So I would say ambition without action is useless. So, hey, we agree on that, Lee.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Totally.
Well, so I want to just say this, and we'll go ahead and try and close this thing out a little bit. But a question I love to ask, especially somebody who's been tenured in the business like you, Lee, and having been through the blue dot days and all that stuff, is I love this question. And I've really only started thinking about it maybe the last, year and a half. So I've been trying to make it a point to ask the right people that are on this podcast. I don't ask everybody, but I ask the right people. And that is a question about legacy. So it seems weird to think about legacy at our age, Michael, because I mean, at 42, I have an idea of what I think I want it to be. But I'm not 100% sold on it, but I'm always curious to hear, I've asked Ken, I've asked Goodrich, I've asked Haynes, I've asked Geiger, I've asked Leland, so I love hearing everybody's answers. What do you want your legacy to be, Lee? What is Lee Rosenberg's legacy?
That we built a company with a wonderful name, the brand, and known for honesty, integrity, and professionalism.
So fair to say.
And giving back to the industry.
Love it. Reputation over revenue.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with profits.
No, of course not. But I'm just saying, here's the way I look at that is I respect that very much. I'm a big believer in that. I mean, think about 14 years in the same trade. I've had to really be careful of doing what's right, and owning things that I don't get right because I'm a normal business owner too. But I've tried to, think about this reputation over revenue model from this perspective. If I do what's right, I really focus on client fulfillment. I really focus on employee satisfaction. I equally treat them, the same. They're like one can't function without the other. And I pour my heart into this thing. I continue to give back, pour into them as human beings, from the personal side of things. If I do that, my business will grow with a good reputation because the reputation is good and the revenue will follow.
Right.
And that's kind of the model that I've adopted. And maybe it's just for a phase of life. I don't know. To me, it seems like that would never go away. But you talk about integrity. To me, that's of course, integrity. But I understand why you're saying that, because that is not the case for everybody.
That is totally correct.
Integrity.
And I think we give back to the community, and the community knows that.
Yep.
And we serve on boards that are outside the industry as well as inside the industry.
Yeah, so you don't just talk about it. You're actually doing it, and that's a plus.
Yep.
And you know what? What's great about that, too, is when you get into, somebody maybe looking, whether it be in on the website or social or whatever, it might be social media or whatever, those who might be looking for a place to work, who aren't just thinking about the dollar, are going to see the things that you guys are doing, the human being aspect of the business, the purpose behind the business, and that's it. And that that draws attention.
Sure, it does.
Absolutely. We've had people that have come to us and say, "Hey, we read your reviews, for example, and we've heard from other people, like at trade schools, that you guys are a good company to work for," and that makes me really proud.
I love it. Yeah. Well, guys, well, congratulations on the business. What's next for you guys? Like, is it more of the same? Like, what's next for you guys?
Just continue to build the business, continue to add good people, and continue to have fun with it. That's real important to me, is that we have fun, that we continue to enjoy what we're doing, and that we continue our longevity with our people. We have a lot of long-term people. So.
And to maintain a little bit of work-life balance there.
Oh, absolutely. You got the boys. Oh, we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
We have fun, too. We travel and do fun things as well.
Yeah, I see that. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, I haven't seen my kids, and I may have left. That sounds really bad. I've been on the road for 7 weeks. I've seen them like a few days here and there. But I was home for 2 years with COVID, and that was like a pretty amazing time to be able to see every single thing I wanted to see. It was so fantastic. Sure. Well, I just want to commend you guys, you know, on a great business, a very respectful business. And Lee, just the tenure you have in the industry and the heart to continue to give back, come and serve on like these boards and things like that. I can tell that you love to do it just by the way that you respond and you react to things and kind of how you are with everybody, the things I've heard about you, you know, and Michael, same with you. It's just been, you know, you and I hit it off like soup, like right away, you know, even then. So for me, it's equally as cool to see you guys sitting here and me doing a podcast with you all these years later. And so I'm grateful. So is this your first podcast?
No, I've done it before.
Dang it.
Is it your first podcast? Yeah, it's my first.
Okay, perfect. I at least got one.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yes. You're already at the pinnacle. You're at the top. It's only
we got more to grow. More to grow to improve.
I mean of podcasts
to
be on. Okay?
Yeah, no, we appreciate you allowing us to be on your podcast.
We do appreciate it. We appreciate the partnership that we have. It's been beneficial to both sides. People ask me all the time. Most of my friends are retired from different being physicians or other businesses. And I said, as long as I have the passion, continue to have the passion that I do, I will keep going. And I think it's obvious we have the passion.
I would say so, yes. Yep. And listen, keeps you young.
And I want to give you a quick plug. We were using a company for our SEO for years. And they didn't do a good job. And when we switched over to Rhino, man, it was just like a light switch. It really improved our leads, our internet leads. They started flowing. So
I appreciate
that. You guys do a good job.
No, I'm grateful. Thank you so much.
And your people are great. So.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that very much. That's like the most rewarding thing to be able to hear, because that's the only reason I'm in business is to do just that. So thank you. And listeners, you know, I will bet you that, if you wanted to connect with either one of these guys, they'd be happy to maybe answer any questions.
Absolutely.
If you want to do something like that. What will be the best way for them to contact you? Or they can go through us too and we can make that connection. But if it's something where you want to just share like an email or whatever, or you can have them go through me. I get it. Filtering it can be difficult.
My email is michael@rosenberghvac.com.
And I'm Lee@rosenberghvac.com. Perfect. Henry Victor Alpha Charlie, for those that don't know what HVAC is.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you guys sharing that too. I would guess that people are probably going to reach out to you. Most do. You know, they reach out to somebody and ask questions. Probably going to be somebody in Texas, you know, man, but probably not in San Antonio, but maybe they are.
You never know.
You never know. But our listeners, you know, take them up on the offer, man. Everybody's willing to help. Like this is what's been great. Like I said, you know, this morning, the trades really, really showed up, you know, during COVID and everybody trying to help one another. And really I'd seen some of that, but not to that level. So it was really kind of cool to see everyone come together and try and lift each other up and sharing information, even people in the same market. Like there's this like, you know, camaraderie that I just really loved to see. So I'm going to finish this thing off with a review like I always do. This review is from Gamer One for Life. This was just left on March 18th. I hope I said that right. I probably could have totally butchered that. But anyway, it was 5 stars. I'm on a new level. It says, nowadays you can find a limited amount of information, but sometimes the information will take you down a dark road of false beliefs and actions. Chris provides a solid hour of groundbreaking inspiration that you can apply in your everyday life, business, and career. Thank you for everything. So whoever that is, I appreciate you leaving that review. Thank you very much. And listen, if you're listening to this particular podcast and you would like to leave a review for either one of our guests, like for something that they, you know, inspired you with or whatever, I love being able to get those and then share it with the guests as well. So, you know, if you don't know how to leave a review, scroll all the way to the bottom of the podcast where it says leave a review, click on it. But if you haven't subscribed to it, you got to subscribe to the podcast. That's pretty important. I always forget to say those things so that we can hear more great information from guests like we have today. So Lee and Michael, I appreciate you guys both. Our listeners, I appreciate you so much. So until next time, no 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. If you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review, and be honest, and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.